إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون، يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا، يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. ثم أما بعد، الله سبحانه وتعالى tells us بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: وما من دابة في الأرض ولا طائر يطير بجناحيه إلا أمم أمثالكم. Allah SWT tells us, and there is no creature on earth or bird that flies with its wings except that they are in communities like you. We are living on a planet that is full of communities. And what that implies is we are living amongst lots of cooperation. Everywhere you look, in every type of creature, you find cooperation. What's fascinating is that some of these creatures cooperate in huge numbers, yet in a very rigid way. For example, like the bee, or like the ant. Others, they can operate and cooperate in a very flexible way, yet in small numbers, like a wolf pack, for instance. It is only the human being that can flexibly cooperate in large numbers, which gives us dominance over every other species on planet Earth. It's because we have the ability to cooperate in very large numbers and yet also flexibly, in very dynamic ways. That's what gives us our strength. Very simple example, I can give this lecture, it can be recorded and put on the internet, and people can watch it from all over the world. I don't know them and they don't know me, and yet we're benefiting one another. Inshallah, they're benefiting from them. Another very interesting example is the cell phone. I'm pretty sure everybody here has one. And subhanAllah, what's so fascinating is that not a single person on earth can produce one. You might hear that and think to yourself, what do you mean? Of course people do. Well, who do you think produces cell phones? Everybody. It's humans, nobody else. No, what I mean is not a single person, as in by themselves, no individual is able to purify the raw materials. Because that takes a lot of knowledge about how to purify aluminum for the casing, lithium for the battery, copper for the wiring, the different plastics that are necessary, and then how to assemble it, and then how to program it, and then how to build cell phone towers and connect everything together. No single human being has all of that knowledge. We delegate and we cooperate, even if we don't know one another, in such a magnificent way that we can take something as ubiquitous as the cell phone, something as prevalent that each and every single person has, and we can admit to ourselves, not a single person here on earth knows how to make one by themselves. There's so many different processes involved and so much expertise in each of those steps, we need to rely on one another. And so we understand that cooperation is necessary, and yet unfortunately we also understand that it's because of that lack of cooperation that this ummah is in a weak state. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ predicted, as is well known, the hadith in Sunan Abi Dawud, the Prophet ﷺ mentions, authentic hadith, that the nations of the world will gather around you like as if they're gathering around a plate to eat. And somebody asked, قَالَ قَائِلٌ, a certain person asked in the crowd, وَمِنْ قِلَّةٍ نَحْنُ يَوْمَئِذٍ, is it because we're so small in number, Ya Rasulullah? Is that why? We're just a small group of people and we're being... No. بَلْ, the Prophet ﷺ says, بَلْ أَنْتُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ كَثِيرٌ وَلَكِنَّكُمْ غُثَاءٌ كَغُثَاءِ السَّيْلِ. No, you're going to be huge in number, but you're going to be like the foam of the sea. Foam of the sea, we all know there's so much of it, but it just goes with the tide, it has no strength, it has no value, and one factor is that it doesn't cooperate with itself, obviously. It doesn't build anything, it doesn't work as a unit, it's so huge in number, And yet it has no value because it just floats with the tide and gets pushed around, and it has no strength in and of itself. How is it possible? How is it possible that we can cooperate so well in, for instance, this country as productive, contributing citizens, and yet we don't cooperate as an ummah? How is it possible that we can cooperate so well in our companies as employees? How is it possible that we can cooperate so well in our families as fathers and sons and mothers and daughters and so forth? All of which are good, none of which I am belittling giving any sort of criticism for. And yet we don't see value in cooperation on the most important scale, that which is for the akhirah, that which is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet this is the case despite the fact that we know that two heads are better than one. And by the way, there's a nice, interesting, you can even look at it from a mathematical perspective. Everybody knows 1 plus 1 equals 2. But 1 plus 1 equals 2 doesn't apply to human beings on the human level. Because one person by himself and another person by himself, both of them can produce a certain amount to get to a certain result. And those two results together add up to a certain amount. But if those two are working together, it would be more. It would be more than what they could accomplish individually. And so what that means is that 1 plus 1 equals 2 mathematically, but 1 plus 1 is actually greater than 2 on the human level, which is just something interesting to think about. We all know this, and we know that united we stand and divided we fall, that no one can handle the life, the burden of life by themselves. In fact, solitary confinement is a form of torture. We all know this. We know that cooperation lets us get the job done faster and better. Anybody serious about education goes to a school. Anybody serious about getting healthy and fit goes to a personal trainer. Cooperation is part of our lives, and yet we're not operating collectively as an ummah. We're not operating collectively as an ummah. And I say this so that each and every single one of us can ask ourselves, what am I contributing myself personally to this ummah, specifically in this city or generally in the ummah at large? What is my individual contribution? How is it possible that I contribute in so many different systems except for the one that is the most important? This is exactly what I want us to think about. How can this be the case when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over and over again speaks to us collectively so that we can think collectively? There's an intent here. There's an idea. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us 89 times in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who have believed. Speaking to us collectively, start thinking collectively. That's the objective there. When 20 times in the Quran we find, Ya ayyuha nas, O mankind, think collectively. 5 times in the Quran you find, Ya Bani Adam, O children of Adam. So Allah over and over again throughout the Quran in multiple ways, in different varieties, tells us to think as a collective. We need to apply this. Alhamdulillah, when we do, fortunately, it is easier to do good when we are encouraged with other people to do good. But unfortunately, on the flip side is also true. It is easier to justify doing evil when everybody else is doing it. It feels so normal, it feels so right, it feels so fine and justifiable when you are doing evil just because everybody else is doing it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us something very, very powerful. And this is the central theme of what I'd like to talk about today. Allah, in fact, commands us, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. And help each other in righteousness and piety, and do not help each other in sin and transgression. I want to analyze these four words and show you how beautiful it is the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts them together. What are these four different words? Birr wa taqwa. Birr is external good. Righteous actions that you can see. Kindness and generosity and helping one another. And taqwa, as the Prophet says, a taqwa hahuna. That taqwa is here inside the heart. It's something that is between you and Allah. So you find that it goes from the external to the internal. And then again, وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا, don't help each other in الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Ithm, sin, is something external, something you do. Externally, it's a sin. عُدْوَان is animosity and hatred, aggression. That is felt where? Internally. What's so fascinating about this is that when you surround yourself by a good environment, slowly but surely the taqwa starts to seep in. You surround yourself by people doing good actions, and you will feel that that taqwa is seeping into your heart. That's a beautiful reality we need to take advantage of. And on the flip side, when you surround yourself by evil actions, oftentimes we justify it too by saying, oh, we're just having a good time, we're just having fun, this is how we enjoy ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing us that what? That evil environment, as fun as it might seem in the short term, in the long term, what will seep into your heart? Hatred, animosity, and aggression. Sin always leads down that road. It's very interesting. Ibn Taymiyyah has a nice quote. He says, "وَالنَّاسُ إِذَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ أَبْغَضَ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا." Beautiful quote from Ibn Taymiyyah. He says, when people cooperate in sin and enmity towards each other, they end up, when they cooperate in sin and enmity towards others, they end up hating each other. It's a very interesting quote. The more you spend time with people laughing and joking and sinning and doing evil and even hating other people, laughing, oh, look at that person, backbiting people, talking about people, those same people that you're having a good time with, eventually it will create hatred and animosity amongst each other. That bitterness will grow and there will be rivalry and hatred amongst one another. And this is exactly what grows internally, and eventually there's a hatred of the self. Because that sinful behavior, it adds up, it piles up, the heart becomes blackened, and eventually what? Eventually you even dislike looking at your own face in the mirror because you're so disappointed in yourself. Because of the pain that you feel, and because of all the evil that you've done, and all the guilt that you hold. And what do we see? People drinking this and smoking that in order to what? To ease the pain, just to numb the brain, because the brain is continuously telling itself, you're doing wrong, change your ways, what are you doing? And so to shut that out, and to drown themselves, to drown out that pain, they take different substances, and which is, of course, a downward spiral. So another beautiful comment by Al-Mawardi. He says, Al-Birr and Taqwa, when they come together, they're beautiful. Why? Because Birr is goodness towards the people. Taqwa is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you can have goodness towards the people and goodness towards Allah, then that is the complete good. Then you've covered all your angles. So subhanAllah, there's different ways to look at this ayah and appreciate the way it all works together beautifully. So the question here, now that we've talked about cooperation and the necessity of it, I want to also take a second to think about what is it that kills cooperation? What is the problem? Why do we find that many of us have no cooperation within the masajid, within any Islamic events? They don't partake and participate in anything that has to do with this ummah. What is the problem? What is killing this cooperation, this ta'awun ala al-birri wa taqwa? Well, one possible answer is pride. Kibr, disease of the heart, ego. It takes a lot to step on your own ego and to suppress your pride, to admit that somebody else was right or that you were wrong. Because that's what happens when you operate as a team. That's what happens when you guys work together. Sometimes you'll be right, other times you'll be wrong. But instead of facing that reality, I'd rather just do this by myself. I'd rather just ignore you people. I don't like dealing with them. They're always telling me I'm this or I'm right or I'm wrong. I don't like this. I don't like this type of conversation. The inability to receive advice is another big problem. Somebody has kibr, they have pride, and in order to operate optimally, what do you need to do? You have to have clear communication with one another. And I need to be able to tell you, look, this you're doing right and this you're doing wrong. Or you need to be able to tell me that. And the moment you tell me that, if my ego flares up, I can't work with these people. They're too busy always telling me that I'm wrong in this and I'm wrong in that. Well, what if they're right? What if you do need to improve? Can you not handle that? Some people have a quality, I couldn't find a synonym for it, so I'm going to use the only word that I know, which is control freak. Not usually the type of term I like to use in the khutbah, but still, I couldn't find a synonym. What is this? It's a quality that when a person has no ability to let go of control of a certain situation. The whole idea of ta'awun is what? You have to be able to delegate. You have to be able to relegate a task to somebody else and say, look, you take over and I'll let you do it your way. But if you always want to do things, no, my way, everything has to look the way I want it to look. It has to operate the way I want it to operate. Otherwise, I'm leaving. This type of kibr and this type of arrogance, it is what is choking us. It is what is killing us and preventing us from flourishing as an ummah here in this city and as an ummah at large. What other qualities? So in three different perspectives, you can look at kibr and the problem that it poses. Also, you can look at jealousy, hasad. Jealousy. When you look at somebody else who's successful and you can't stand it. Because it takes, again, you have to step on your own ego and say, I'm not jealous of this person. We're all going to help each other and maybe they'll get the credit. Maybe they'll get the credit. Maybe I'll only get part of the credit. You know what? That's okay. I'm not jealous of their praise. I'm not jealous of whatever complimentary words they receive. I'm okay with that. I will still work as a group, even if I feel that I'm underappreciated. That's okay with me. Also, that's another reason people don't give advice. We have to remember that advice is two ways. It's both receiving and giving. But oftentimes you'll find that some people, they don't want to give advice to others. Why? Why should I make this person improve? Why should I give this person a head start in life? Why should he get a higher status? If the higher they go, then the more jealous I am of them. So you know what? I won't participate, and I have no interest whatsoever in advising. This is a disease that we have amongst us, whether it be kibr, whether it be jealousy and hasad. In fact, Al-Fudayl ibn al-Iyad, rahimahullah, he has a nice quote where he says, Al-Mu'min yasturu wa yansahu wal-fajiru yahtiku sitra wa yafdahu. The believer covers up a person's faults and advises sincerely, whereas the wicked person loves to disgrace and to expose. You have to ask, we have to ask ourselves, why am I not involved in the Muslim community more? Why do I not take part in the events that are taking place? Why am I not even aware of the events that are taking place? What is the problem? Is it perhaps the fact that I don't like working with people, I don't like advising people, when I see somebody's faults, immediately I tell everybody, oh, I don't like working with them, one time they were rude to me, I'm going to go around and tell every single person that some person at the masjid was rude to me, and that's why I don't like them. SubhanAllah, one person was rude one time, and you have to tell 20, 40, 50 different people? Really? So we have to develop the quality, we have to really look at ourselves in the mirror and ask ourselves, what type of person am I? Would I rather focus on who made the mistake? Or would I rather focus on how we can collectively fix it? These are two very different perspectives. And unfortunately, we find that it's usually the former instead of the latter. When mistakes take place, everybody wants to say, who's to blame? Let's focus on who needs to be exposed and belittled and humiliated, because that feels great. No. A better attitude is to say, okay, a mistake was made. Who did it? That's not the point. The point is, how are we collectively going to fix it? The third disease of the heart is al-ajala, impatience, the desire to get things done quickly. Or, if you want to look at it from the other perspective, a lack of sabr, a lack of patience. This often leads to poor communication. There are many people from many countries that come to the masajid. Perhaps they don't necessarily all have the same first language. Therefore, communication can sometimes be slow. Sometimes it can be a difficult endeavor. You have to be willing to sit with somebody and talk to them and communicate with them and make sure that everybody listens to each other and hears one another. It's very frustrating when you're trying to talk to somebody and they are so impatient, they don't want to hear it, they don't even want to make eye contact with you, but their body is busy turning from one side to the other, and you can see very quickly that they have no interest in having this conversation. So quickly you come to the conclusion, what's the point of me even being here? This person can't stand looking at me. This person can't stand sitting and listening to what I have to say. How on earth are we going to move forward together? The Prophet ﷺ had such a beautiful quality that when somebody spoke to him, he would turn his body directly and face that person and give all of his attention to that person until they were done, and then focus on the next person. It wasn't the case that he was talking to one person, oh, you're not important enough. Oh, hi, how are you doing? It doesn't work like that. That's impolite. And so we need to give somebody their attention. Talk to them, make sure they've understood. Listen to them, make sure that they are understood. Until, inshallah ta'ala, that's how we can promote cooperation and working with one another. And a fourth quality is a lack of trust. And this is just something that results from the widespread sin that we find in society. When people are acting in a very sinful manner, when evil is widespread, as a natural result, human beings, they just don't trust each other. When they don't trust each other, they won't cooperate with one another. Because cooperation requires a certain amount of mutual trust. And so, we need to, if we want to improve on these qualities, one, be people of taqwa. Be people who fear Allah, who try to remove sin from your life, so that we actually trust one another. When we trust each other, we'll listen to each other. When we listen to each other, we'll cooperate with one another, and we will, inshallah, work towards improving this community and making a better ummah in this city and outside as well. Inshallah, I'll continue the second khutbah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa alayhi wa sallam, wa sallam, wa sallam. Bismillah, walhamdulillah, salatu wasalam ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa ala, amma ba'd. So the four different qualities that kill cooperation pride, jealousy, impatience, and a lack of impatience, and obviously widespread sin. How can we address these one by one? Let's take a look at number one, pride. How can we have pride and say, I want to do everything myself and I don't want to work with the rest of the community, when we know that Musa alayhi salam, a prophet of Allah, who is now receiving divine help, when he is given the task to go and give da'wah, the first thing that he says is what? I need my brother's help. SubhanAllah, he has Allah's help. He has miracles on his within his ability. He's been gifted in such a way that no other person has such gifts and abilities. And yet he still wants his brother's help. And yet we don't want to work with our own brothers. And yet we don't want to work cooperatively and collectively. When Musa alayhi salam, such a great Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, says what? وَجَعَلْنِي وَزِيرًا مِنْ أَهْلِ هَارُونَ أَخِي وَاشْتُدْ بِهِ أَزْرِي وَأَشْرِكُ فِي أَمْرِي. When Musa alayhi salam is saying what? That and appoint for me a minister for my family, Harun, my brother, and increase through him my strength, and let him share with me in this task. He's making dua, oh Allah, you're giving me this task of da'wah, I can't do it alone. Even though he's a prophet, even though he has miracles, he still wants his brother involved. How can we have pride and think, oh no, I can do it on my own. Or no, no, I don't want to deal with my brother. SubhanAllah, we need to look at the example of Musa alayhi salam. How can we dislike giving advice to others because of jealousy, when we know that your success is my success? That is the attitude that we should have. That the more you improve, that is my improvement as well. The more I give you advice and you become better, that is my success as well. Why do we know this? Because the Prophet ﷺ says in an authentic hadith in Tirmidhi, إِنَّ الدَّالَ عَلَى الْخَيْرِ كَفَاعِلِهِ. The one who points towards a good is like the one who did it. The more you encourage people to do good, you get the ajr of what they've done. Their success is your success. Why would you ever be jealous of that? You should take pride in it and know that you will see the reward on Judgment Day. How can we communicate poorly due to impatience, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that we are losers, we are complete losers, unless we have two important qualities, وَتَوَاسُوا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسُوا بِالصَّبْرِ. You have to have clear communication of the truth. That's called وَتَوَاسُوا بِالْحَقِّ, enjoining the truth. And you have to be patient upon that, وَتَوَاسُوا بِالصَّبْرِ. If you don't have those two qualities, then what does Allah tell us? إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. Then you must be a loser. The only exception is if you have all of those qualities. So, if we are not patient enough to communicate the truth with one another, then we are not abiding by the description of a successful person as described in Surah Al-Asr, and therefore we fall into the category of being losers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from being losers on Judgment Day. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. We need to remember beautiful ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنِ لِلْمُؤْمِنِ كَالْبُنْيَانِ يَشُدُّ بَعْضُهُ بَعْضًا. That the believer to the believer is like a brick wall, reinforcing and supporting each other. And then the Prophet ﷺ, وَشَبَّكَ أَصَابِعَهُ. Then he put his fingers together like this. He intertwined his fingers to show and to demonstrate this is how the believers operate and support one another and reinforce one another. The Prophet ﷺ tells us in a hadith, also in Tirmidhi, يَدُ اللَّهِ مَعَ الْجَمَاعَةِ. That the hand of Allah, that Allah's hand is with the jama'ah. In other words, there's barakah, there's blessing, there's Allah's help in what? Being united, in the jama'ah, in sticking together. Many different ahadith talking about the importance of helping one another. The Muslim is the brother of another Muslim. He should not oppress him. He should not be an oppressor over him. And whoever fulfills the needs of his brother, مَنْ كَانَ فِي حَاجَةِ أَخِيهِ كَانَ اللَّهُ فِي حَاجَةِ. Whoever fulfills the need of his brother, Allah will fulfill his need as well. And whoever removes a discomfort from his brother, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove a discomfort from him on Judgment Day. And whoever covers his brother's faults, Allah will cover his faults on Judgment Day. It's a beautiful hadith in Bukhari. It's a well-known hadith. Some will say, oh, but he's not such a good person. He's a mean person. He's a wretched person. Even then you're supposed to be trying your best to help your brother and cooperate with your brother. As the Prophet ﷺ says also in Bukhari, أُنصُرْ أَخَاكَ ظَالِمًا أَوْ مَظْلُومًا. Help out your brother. Help out your brother whether he's an oppressor or the oppressed. And they say, Ya Rasulullah, we know we need to help somebody if he's oppressed, obviously. We help him out, but what if he's an oppressor? Why should we help him? No. Help him by what? Take his hand. Stop him. Stop him from his oppression. But the idea here is what? The idea is that even when you're stopping him, you're not doing it out of a hatred for him, but out of a love, because you're actually concerned, you want to see him improve as an individual. So it's not out of hatred, it's actually out of love. And inshallah ta'ala, I'd like to finish with one last story. and then conclude inshallah. We often hear Muslims complaining about our leaders, saying, oh, well, maybe the Muslim leadership is not doing enough. But what good can a leader do if there's nobody to lead? How limited a leader is if there's nobody to follow? We know this from a beautiful quote, one of my favorite instances in Sirah, in the life of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, when he was Amir al-Mu'mineen, when he was the leader of the believers. Somebody came to him and said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, why is it that when with Abu Bakr and Umar, the people followed them, and the world was constricted for them, but then it expanded for them? In other words, there was so much conquest during Abu Bakr and Umar's time. They were so successful. And then you and Uthman, you guys come along, you become khulafa, you become leaders, and then people don't follow you, and the world was once wide and open, and now it's becoming constricted. Why is that the case? Basically saying, why are you guys such failures? It's quite insulting words. Ali ibn Abi Talib, mashallah, tabarakallah, genius. What does he respond? لِأَنَّ رَعِيَّةَ أَبِي بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرٍ كَانُوا مِثْلِي وَمِثْلَ عُثْمَانِ وَرَعِيَّتِي أَنَا الْيَوْمْ مِثْلُكَ وَشَبَهُكَ. He says, because the followers of Abu Bakr and Umar were people like me and Uthman, and the followers of me are people like you and your like and your kind. That's exactly why. You want to know why things were so good during Abu Bakr and Umar's time? Because they had followers like me and Uthman. During Uthman and my time, things are going bad because we have followers like you. And what good are you? So this put this man right in his place and made him realize, you know what, maybe I shouldn't challenge Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But the point here, which is such a funny story, and it puts him right in his place, the point is to say what? That a leader is very much limited by the followers. You can't say, oh, where is the Salah ad-Din Ayyubi of today? Even if he is here today, who's going to follow? What good can he do without the actual people to take his lead? So we need to, in conclusion, inshallah ta'ala, we need to be of those who support Muslim projects, whether it be events, whether it be classes, whether it be donating, whatever it may be, try your best to donate and to give your time and to support Muslim projects. Support Muslim businesses. If you find nothing functioning the way you'd like, then get involved and try to improve it. Try to actually improve on it. And if you are of the opinion that each and every single project is so weak or so irredeemable that there's no point in helping it, then you are faced with one last option. Be a leader and start something yourself. Don't just complain. Allahumma ahdina fi man hadayt, wa afina fi man afayt, wa tawallana fi man tawallayt, wa barik lana fi ma a'tayt, wa qina sharra ma qadayt, fa innaka taqdi wa la yuqda alayk, innahu la yadhillu man walayt, wa la yu'izzu man adayt, tabarakta rabbana wa ta'alayt. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana, wa fil akhirati hasana, wa qina adhaban nar, wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam taslima katheera, wa aqim as-salah.